The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
John chapter 12, beginning with verse 27. This was the last week of Jesus' life, in the early part of the week. He had been teaching in the streets and in the synagogues, in the temple surrounding area. And I think it was late, probably Monday evening, when he was leaving town. Some of the going back to stay at the home of Lazarus and Martha. There were some Greeks who came, who worshiped at the feast. Undoubtedly, they were proselytes to the Jewish faith, coming out of the Greek world, had been disillusioned with the world in which they lived and their religion, looking for some truth in the one true God. And they came to Israel. And when they heard Jesus, they came seeking him, and they came and found Philip and said, you know, we would want to see Jesus. We wish to see him. And Philip came and got Andrew, and Andrew carried him to Philip. Andrew was always carrying people to Jesus. Every time you see him in the scripture, Andrew is bringing somebody to Christ. And when they told Jesus that, he went into this dialogue about death. He said, it's time for the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Verse 27, he said, but now my soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And a voice came out of heaven and said, I have both glorified and will glorify it again. And the crowd of the people who stood by heard it were saying it thundered, and others were saying an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for yours. Now judgment has come upon the world. The ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. John wanted to make sure we knew what he was talking about, for in the next verse he said he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. Father, we thank you today again for the opportunity we have to worship. We're thankful for you coming into the world, and we're thankful that you died on the cross for us. We pray that your Holy Spirit will draw us to you indeed today. As we lift up Christ today, spiritually from your word, we ask that you would draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name. What we celebrate today is really the fact Christmas season is really the foundation of everything we believe as Christians. You know, I've been reading some of the internet. People are arguing today about whether the virgin birth was really real and all those other things that really happened. But I'll tell you something, you know, even though the virgin birth is only mentioned two or three times in the scripture, if it had only been mentioned one time, that would have been sufficient, because God doesn't lie and everything he says is true. And so, and if Christ hadn't been born of a virgin and come into the world in the way that he did, then everything else that we stand upon, everything else we believe, would be a farce. So it is all true, folks. Jesus Christ came as a babe, born of a virgin, laid in a feeding trough, in a stall where the cattle and the animals were fed to get out some shelter while that birth was to come. But he came into the world for purposes and reason. The angels told Joseph and Mary, said he told Joseph that when Jesus has come, he's going to be your Savior, but he also is going to be named Emmanuel, which means God with us. God came to be with us, but he also came to be one of us. And it was necessary in order for him to come and to be one of us in order to save us from our sin and his consequences and to restore us unto a right relationship with himself. So the question of utmost importance is, why did he really come today? I'm reading this whole, really sometime during this month, I don't remember, as we've been preparing for the Christmas season. And one writer said there are 14 statements that Jesus made, which says, I have come, or the Son of Man has come. I didn't look all of those up, but I began to think about some of those times that Jesus said, I have come, and the reason he stated reasons why he's come. In John chapter 6, verse 38, he said, I've come to do the will of my Father. That reminded me of Luke, the second chapter, in verse 49, when Jesus was just 12 years old, just a young boy, and they went to Jerusalem for the feast with his family. And they started home and realized Jesus wasn't with them. They went back and looked for him, found him where? In the temple. And he you know, and the parents wanted to get on to him about it. And he said, you know, why were you worried? He said, didn't you know that I would be, the New American Standard translates, in my father's house. The King James said, didn't you know I'd be about my father's business? So even from the time that he was of consciousness, he was moving towards what he had come into the world to do. And he knew that his hour was coming. As he began his earthly ministry, and the first miracle in which he performed, he told his mother, he said, my hour is not yet come. But everywhere you begin to look and to read, he was moving towards that hour in which he was going to die. He came to do his father's business, came to do the will of his father. In John chapter 6, verse 40 says this, the will of the Father is that you will behold the Son and then believe in him and have eternal life. Related to that, Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, I'm come to seek and to save those which were lost. In the last week of his life, he stands here now, looking at that hour that is here. And when the Greeks came looking for him to see him, he declared that which he had been saying all along, his hour had not yet come. Now he says, my hour has come. He knew that by the end of this week, he was going to the cross to die. And he said, now my hour has come. And he began to go into this dialogue about death. Talked about a grain, a seed. Unless it dies and planted, it can't live and bear fruit again. He talks about the importance of dying, how it's necessary for us to die before we can really live. He made that application to us, and he said, we who are his servants must also follow that same path. But then he made it very clear that he was talking about his death. Now, his soul was troubled. He knew what was fixing to happen. He knew that he was going to become sin for us and be discouraged. And so when he comes to this place, he said, my heart is troubled. Emotionally, because he was one of us, he felt the burden of what was going to happen and take place. And he said, but my hour has now come. But what will I say? Ask God to deliver me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. For this reason, I was born. I came into the world ultimately to go to the cross. Then he prayed a prayer publicly and openly. He said, Father, glorify thy name. The voice from heaven spoke and said, I have glorified and I will glorify it again. And then he talked about this hour, what was going to happen at this hour, at this moment when Christ died. First of all, the Father was going to be glorified by it. You see, the word glorified means to be understood or to be seen. The very root word of the root glory goes back to the idea of seeing or beholding. So anytime God is seen, anytime he is beheld, anytime we understand him, anytime our hearts is drawn towards God in a positive way, God is glorified. And so by the death of Jesus Christ, the greatest thing that would ever happen is to bring glory unto the Father, because then he's going to restore us to himself. But not only was the Father glorified, but Satan was going to be cast out. The one who was basically the author of sin and one who had bound us as slave in slavery, we're now going to be set free from sin and all of the consequences that it's bringing, and the separation, because the judgment of sin has also come. And he's going to judge sin. Folks, that's what it was all about. We're all sinners and we're all guilty and we're all in need of Christ. And it was because of our sin that Jesus had to come. And what happened at the cross was a judgment of sin. And God poured out his wrath upon his son Jesus, and he died to take our punishment in our hell. Now, if you keep reading this passage of Scripture, immediately after talking about his death, and said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto myself, he then began to talking about light and walking. No longer should we have to walk in the darkness, but we shall have light. And he says, in later on in the chapter, he said that he was very light of the world. You read that whole thing in the context and you begin to understand what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I can take death and I'm going to transform it into life. Literally, by my death, I'm going to transform that into eternal life for as many that will behold and believe upon me. And he said, when you come and die to yourself and you follow me as a servant, then you lose your life. You're going to gain eternal life, and there's going to be a life which no longer walks in darkness, but a life which walks in the light. And so this morning, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together on this Christmas day, We remind ourselves that Jesus Christ came into the world, born as a babe, to live among us, to be one of us, so that he could go to the cross and die for us. Jesus was talking about that earlier in John's Gospel, in John chapter 6. He said, "This is the bread which came down from out of heaven, and the one that eateth it does not die." He said, "I'm the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread also which I will give him will be life unto the world. It's my flesh." The Jews began to argue and say, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus continued. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in yourself. For he who eats of my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood true drink. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who eats me shall also live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died, but he who eats this bread shall live forever." Father, we pray now as we come to this moment of worship in obedience to your command to observe our Lord's Supper together. We would ask that you would remind us of its truth. You would use these symbols to make us continually aware of your presence and the purpose for you coming into the world. We pray that we'll sense that bond and fellowship that you have brought us together in a relationship as a family of believers. And we pray, Father, that we will search our hearts in such a way that we'll confess our sins and renew and recommit ourselves to living for you, to dying to ourselves so that truly we can know what life is really about. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.